If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 17 here. It's always great at the beginning of a month because we're starting a new series, and for November, we want to develop the art of gratefulness. Amen? You know, we need to have a grateful heart, and too many times, we are so apt, so trained to complain. We let complaining be our first response to whatever happens to us in life. And because every believer in Christ has the ability to not complain, but to turn their complaining into thankfulness. So we're going to develop the art of gratefulness this month. I'm very excited about it because I discovered some things of the power of thanksgiving. There is a power of thanksgiving that a lot of people haven't tapped into. And we're going to see examples of that. In Colossians chapter 3, we're going to look at verse 17, but let's start with verse 16. He said, let the word of Christ dwell in you how? Richly. So we're supposed to let God's word dwell in us richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Did you know that you can sing with grace in your hearts? Hallelujah. And notice we're singing to the Lord. And for those of you that can't sing, there's good news. Make a joyful noise. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, verse 17, I really want you to look at and focus on. And whatsoever you do, that covers everything, doesn't it? Whatever you do, in word, that's whatever you say, or deed, whatever you do in action, do all in the name of the Lord. Why? Because number one, you are God's ambassadors here on this earth. Do you realize it that everything we do, it either points to God, it either points to us, or it either points to the devil? So whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So everything that we do, everything that we say is supposed to be in the atmosphere of thanksgiving. We're supposed to create a thankful atmosphere because thankfulness, really, gratefulness is really expressing thanks. Amen? To be a grateful person is to be someone who is expressing thanks, and you recognize where every good thing comes from. See, someone who is grateful is appreciative of the benefits that they have received. So to be grateful is to show appreciation. And we know that every benefit, every good thing that we have came down to us from God. Amen? You could say it like this. God is the author of good things. God never does anything bad. It wasn't God who allowed sin in the world. It was man. God told him how to not allow sin in the world. But man disobeyed the instruction, and man allowed sin into this world. So God is not the author of bad. And every believer, we should be highly developed in giving thanks to God. Amen? Here is what some people said about being ungrateful. Timothy Dexter said, an ungrateful man is like a hog under a tree eating acorns but never looking to see where they come from. He's enjoying the acorns, but he's never looking to see where those acorns come from. All right, that's someone who's ungrateful. I thought that was a pretty good quote. Here's another one. The worst moment for an atheist is when he feels grateful and has no one to thank. That's got to be a bad moment for an atheist, right? And then finally, lost my place here. All right. This is what George Washington said, our first president. It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly implore his protection and favor. Wow, do you think our first president got a hold of something? Amen? Well, let's look at what it means to be grateful, to have a grateful heart, to develop the art of gratefulness. You know, when you develop an art, you know, some of you have developed the art of making cookies. And you guys, some of you make cookies so well, you don't even have to think about it. You just put the ingredients together and out pop these cookies because you have developed the art of making cookies. Some of you have developed the art of singing. I always envied singers because I could carry a tune, but not too far. You know, I'd sing solo, you couldn't hear me. But you have developed the art of singing so well that when you sing, you hit all the notes and your voice, it just touches the soul. Those are people who have developed an art. Well, you know what? We as believers, we can develop the art of gratefulness. What does that mean? That means we become highly skilled and highly developed in expressing our thanks to God. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. We're going to just look at some of the things that the Bible says about giving thanks. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Oh, here we go. Verse 18. In everything, give thanks. Why? This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning who? Did you know that it is God's will to give thanks in everything? You know, the reason that we're trained to complain is because this world is full of so many negative things. I mean, in reality, we get bombarded with negativity everywhere we go. Newspaper, radio, TV, co-workers, right? Those people that annoy you, that you're around, that you've got to see. But I want you to notice what God's will for us is. To give thanks in what? Everything. Did you know that even if you go through a tragedy, you know what? Sometimes if you're not thankful for what you have, be thankful for what you missed. Did you know that there are some things that we missed that would have destroyed our lives? And we could be thankful for the things that didn't destroy our lives. When you know God, by having a relationship with Jesus Christ, you can know that God, you can be thankful for God in everything. You can find God. You know what? Even Joseph, his brothers threw him into a pit. They despised him. They hated him. They were going to kill him. But if it wasn't for his brother Reuben, who said, don't kill him, but then they sold him into slavery. And after he went through all that, Then he was falsely accused in Potiphar's house. Then he was forgotten in prison. He told his brothers, at the end he said, what the devil meant for evil, God meant for good. He saw something to give thanks out of the bad things that he went through. He didn't say that God caused the bad things, but he wasn't complaining about the bad things that he went through. He just acknowledged God. Amen? Listen, yes, the devil does have plans to destroy you, but God has plans to give you an abundant life. And when you're a thankful person, you're going to get the abundant life. But it is God's will for us to give thanks. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse 20. Well, you know, we better just back up to verse 16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. How do you redeem the time? You walk in wisdom and not as a fool. If you're living like a fool, then you're not going to be able to redeem the time. Okay? Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Verse 17, wherefore, be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Can you understand what God's will is? Say, I can understand what God's will is for me at any given moment. You can, because he told us, be understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Notice, when you're filled with the Spirit, here's what happens. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice that all of our thanksgiving is to God. All right? We're not thanking God because of the evil or the bad things that we just went through. We're thanking God for who he is and what he's done. Amen? Listen, we are going to go through some bad things. We are going to face tragedy. This life is full of tragedy. It's full of bad things. People die before their time. People die before they fulfill what God's called them to do on this earth. And it wasn't because God took them. God is not a thief. We better say that. Say that with me. Say, God is not a thief. God doesn't steal. But Jesus told us who steals. That's the devil. If someone died before they fulfilled their will for their life, before they fulfilled God's will for their life, it wasn't because God took them, it was because Satan stopped them. But someone who is filled with the Spirit is giving thanks to God. Someone who is complaining is obviously at that moment not filled with the Spirit. You know the story of when people complained in the wilderness? I think it's Numbers 23, maybe. People were murmuring and complaining because they were experiencing a slight incline. And they started murmuring, complaining, and grumbling, and mostly it's always against those in authority. And what happened was, when they started to complain, all of a sudden, fiery serpents appeared on the scene. And they started biting people. They started killing people. But God told Moses to put a bronze serpent on a pole and to raise it up. And everybody who would look on that would be saved, would be healed, would be delivered. So thanksgiving, when you're a thankful person, you're just switching your focus from your circumstance to Jesus. You're changing your perspective. Just by giving thanks, you start to look upward. You lift yourself above your circumstance, and you're looking at the one who can save you, deliver you, who can actually change your circumstance. But the problem is, we have not developed this art of giving thanks. It's going to take some practice. If you're used to complaining, for the next 30 days, I want you to not complain. I want you to pass up marvelous opportunities to complain. And instead, find something to give thanks to God about in that situation. Amen? Henry David Thoreau said this, "I am grateful for what I am and have. My thanksgiving is perpetual." That means continuous. "Oh, how I laugh when I think of my vague, indefinite riches. No run on my bank can drain it, for my wealth is not my possession, but my enjoyment." He had an attitude that means no matter what happens, I'm going to give thanks to God. Amen? And that's how we need to be. So we're going to develop this art of gratefulness. Go with me to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. And I'm actually going to give you a bonus today. Because you set the clocks back an hour, and normally this would be a little bit after 12, I'm going to let you out early today. Because your stomach hasn't gotten used to the time change, and I don't want you hungry. I don't want you drooling in the service saying, "When is he going to get done? My stomach is..." So I'm going to let you out early today. I receive, brother. Look at what Paul said in Romans 7:25. He said, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." If you only thought of that, that is enough ammunition. That is enough reason to give thanks for whatever you go through. Let me read it again. "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." That's all you need to know to be a skillful thanksgiving giver. "So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." Now, these verses in Romans, verses 6 and 7, they talk about often how Paul was before he was saved. He said, "The things I want to do, I don't do. But the things I do, I don't want to do." That was before he knew Jesus Christ. Amen? But that's another sermon for another day. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. What am I doing? I'm giving you a reason to be thankful. Amen? I'm building such a strong foundation of thankfulness that you're going to leave here today saying, "Thank God, thank God. Woo, thank God through Jesus Christ." Amen? Because you're going to see that thankfulness is the key to you receiving your blessing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and look at verse 15. "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." What is his unspeakable gift that he gave to us? The Holy Spirit. What else? His salvation, his son. Amen? Listen, salvation brings every other gift, right? Listen, God's gift is so good. It's truly the gift. One size fits all. It truly has an eternal guarantee, which means when you get this gift, you have eternal life. All you got to do is believe, and you will be a benefactor of eternal life. The moment you believe, eternal life comes into you and begins to dwell in you, and you can walk in eternal life. It is an unspeakable gift. It is a most gracious gift. He gave it to us when all of us were undeserving of it. He gave it to us freely. Did it cost you anything to get saved? No, you simply received the gift that was already given. Jesus was the one that paid the price. Thank be unto God for his unspeakable, other versions say undescribable, gift. It is the truly the gift that keeps on giving. I got saved when I was 12, and I'm 43 now, and that gift is still giving to me. It's still giving me revelation. It's still helping me to know God. It's giving me strength and power when I need it. When I'm weak, I get his strength and power. When I'm down, I get his joy. When there's turmoil in my life, I can have his peace. This is the gift that keeps on giving. It's the unspeakable gift. This is an unknown author. There is always, always, always something to be thankful for. Amen? There is always, 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 always something to be thankful for. If you don't have something, then you have someone. Right? This was an anonymous quote. You cannot be grateful and bitter. I'm going to say that again. You cannot be grateful and bitter. You cannot be grateful and unhappy. You cannot be grateful and unhappy. You cannot be grateful and without hope. You cannot be grateful and unloving. So, just be grateful. Amen? Just be grateful. I want to switch gears. Next week, we're going to find out how every prayer should be within the atmosphere of thanksgiving. But I want to look today at a specific instance where Jesus gave thanks. And I want to show you the power that's involved in thanksgiving. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And let's just start with verse 1. Okay? After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. So I want you to get this picture. There's this great multitude that were following Jesus because they saw the miracles that he did on those that were sick. And so he gets up on this mountain, and he's sitting down with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw the great company come unto him, he said unto him, Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? You know, if God wants to do something on this earth, he's going to look for a person to do something with. God works through people. God wants to work through each and every one of you. He simply wants you to be a conduit of his power, of his goodness, and of his blessing. Amen? Do you believe that? Are you available for God to use? And he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. See, Jesus likes to do things like this. He likes to see if you're really in faith or not. Philip answered, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Okay, Philip had this natural idea. I've got this much money, but this much money is not enough for everybody. Okay. Verse 8, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there is a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? Okay, now Andrew, he's looking at what they have, not what they don't have, right? Okay, we've got this lad here, this little boy. probably between the ages of somewhere between 9 and 12, maybe 9 and 11. Okay? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. So not including women, there was probably about 15,000 to 20,000 people. If there was only 5,000 men, some of those men had families, there was probably anywhere from 5,000 to 20,000 people there. Okay? Now, how would you feel if 20,000 people showed up out your door ready for dinner? You could empty out all your cupboards and that might not be enough. Amen? Well, let's translate that. Don't raise your hands, but if you're facing a situation of lack, where what you have is not enough to meet the need, how are you going to multiply what you have? How are you going to increase what you have to meet this enormous need? Amen? Well, you're going to do exactly what I've been talking about. Jesus took the loaves. And notice this, when he had given thanks. The moment Jesus received the loaves, the first thing he did was he was grateful. He, Jesus, our example, expressed thanks to God. He expressed thanks. See, gratefulness is the key to supernatural increase. Complaining never multiplies anything, but thankfulness causes the one who's given you everything to move on your behalf. When he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. There was no limit to how much loaves and fish the people could take. They just didn't get a bite. They could take as much as they wanted because he gave thanks. Thankfulness was the key to increase in this miracle. See, gratefulness looks to God first in all situations. He looked to God to supply the large quantity. He had something, but what he had wasn't enough, but he needed what he had to multiply, and it was thankfulness that caused God to multiply it. Can you say amen? Boy, when I saw this, I got excited. I want you to notice, Jesus was grateful for what was given to him. He received the gift with a grateful heart. Now, it was his disciple that said, what is this among so many? Jesus didn't repeat what his disciple said. He simply gave thanks. If he'd have repeated what Andrew said, the miracle wouldn't have worked. See, remember when he asked Philip, he already knew what he was going to do. He already knew that his God is a creator, that he can multiply and create anything. He can, if God doesn't have it, he can make it for you because he's a creator. He can bring something out of nothing. Gratefulness reveals you are looking at the right source with the right attitude. When he gave thanks, he wasn't looking at the bread. He wasn't looking at the boy. He wasn't looking at the people. He was looking at God. And that was his first response. The quality of the food was not changed, but the quantity was increased. God's not going to plant a money tree in your backyard. You know, he's not going to have a $10, $20, $100 money tree. But supernaturally, when you give to God with the right heart, with a grateful heart, He has a way of multiplying what you have. He has a way of causing what you have to go further, to have a wider scope, to do more in the name of Jesus. Now notice, He had the disciples give to the people. He taught the people to respect His ministers because they acted on His behalf. Can you say amen? Okay? Now notice verse 12. When they were filled, He said unto His disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. You know, even when God multiplies something, He doesn't want anything lost. He's very orderly. He's very organized. How many times do we waste our increase? Oh, I've got this much left. I can spend it. Really? We're so quick, but we got to remember, where did it come from? Who gave us the ability to get it? And it was because of His thankfulness. Not only did His thankfulness multiply the food that He had, but everybody had enough, more than enough, and they still had some left over. Do you realize how powerful thankfulness is? It not only increased it, it super increased it. Just by being grateful, just by recognizing God, just by turning to God first, that caused the power of God on this situation. Now, everybody was there. You're talking 5 to 20,000 people saw how He took a little boy's lunch. And by the way, how many lunches can you get from little boys? I mean, Gabriel gives me leftovers. He's already eaten it, but he said, you want to finish it for me? He doesn't give it to me first. And I'm always happy to bat cleanup. This was a direct result of Jesus, our example, who when He received something, the first response that He did was to give thanks. Jesus was highly developed in the art of gratefulness. Now, I want you to know something. You may think that what you have is insufficient or insignificant, or is not going to amount to much. And if you keep it, it won't. But if you give it what you have to God, God doesn't ask you for what you don't have. God asks you for what you have, either your time, your energy, your resources, your ability, your availability. God doesn't expect you to give what you don't have, but He knows that if you give what you have and He's leading you to give it, He will multiply it. Say this with me. Say, God multiplies what I give. When I give something, I'm thankful for the opportunity to give. That's how we need to be. We need to be grateful for the opportunity to give when we have an opportunity to give. Listen, God wouldn't lead you to give if He knew you didn't have it. And what He wants to do is He wants to bless you. And when you act in obedience, that's going to open the door. But you got to do it with the right heart. Gratefulness recognizes God as the giver of all good things. Philip knew the money he had was insufficient. Andrew knew that the little boy's lunch, it couldn't feed anybody, but Jesus knew that God was bigger than all of that. Jesus knew where to go for His answer. Jesus knew who to look to for the solution. Jesus knew what to say to cause the solution to manifest miraculously. and that was he gave thanks. How often have we underestimated the power of giving thanks? See, increase came through giving. And we should be grateful in all our giving. I already said that. See, I got ahead of myself. Do you know that when we're ungrateful, when someone gives you something and you have an ungrateful attitude, you're like, whatever. You are taking the honor of the giver away. And what that's going to do is, that's going to cause the giver to stop giving. See, thankfulness keeps the door of giving open. But ungratefulness slams the door in his face. But here at VCF, we're going to develop the art of gratefulness. And we're going to express our thanks to God because we understand that God is the source of all good things. Go with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from where? Is from above. Husbands, your wife is a gift from above. Wives, your husband is a gift from above. And neither one should pervert God's word for their own interests. Every good gift and every perfect gift. Not only every good gift, but every... The word perfect in the Bible means complete, full. Listen, when God gives you something, nothing is missing. There's nothing missing, nothing broken in God's gift. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, means he doesn't change. Some of you, you have been called by God to serve him preaching the gospel. He said the gifts and the callings of God in Romans 11 are without repentance. Now, whether or not you answered that call, that doesn't mean anything. God still called you. And his call, listen, if you've never answered that call, you're going to have to answer for it when you stand before him. He knows why he created you, and he created you with a specific purpose. Okay? Verse 18, of his own will, he begot us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Did you know that you're a first fruit of God's creatures? What's a first fruit? It means he gives you precedent. You're the only creature that God made in his image and in his likeness. You're the only one who he patterned himself after. That's why when you mistreat people, you're mistreating God. And I'm sorry, but there is no excuse for mistreating any human being on this planet. There are no excuses that are acceptable for mistreating people. Verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, did you know that God calls you his beloved? You're God, say, I'm God's beloved. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. How are you going to be slow to wrath? Be quick to be thankful. Be quick to be grateful. A grateful heart is a thankful heart. It's one that expresses. Listen, thanksgiving was never meant to be kept to itself. Thanksgiving has to be expressed. It has to be displayed. Amen? And some people, when they receive something, your spirit better remind your face that it's something good. Amen? Because your face is not catching up with what is going on here. When God gives something, he doesn't give it with lemon juice. You know? Can we just take a moment? Let's everybody stand up. And I want each and every one of us to take your eyes off your misfortunes. Take your eyes off what you lack and start thanking God for who he is and what he's done for you. Amen? For a few moments, we are going to have a thank you Jesus party. Amen? That means, what does that mean, Pastor? It means that you, say me. Say, he's talking to me. That means you express your thanks to God. That means you forget about who's around you. You forget about who's behind you. Right now, in just this moment, your narrow focus is on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? Your focus is to exalt Jesus. So let's do that right now. Let's be thankful. Oh, we give you thanks and praise, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word to me. Lord, your word keeps me. Your word sustains me. Your word helps me, Father. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Oh, I give you thanks and praise, Father, for your goodness. I thank you, Lord, that your name is above every other.